I was going to be in Zechariah, but I was like, you know what? No. The Wednesday night crowd deserves some Christmas cheer. So Wednesday night, we're going to take a pause from our study through Zechariah, and we're going to look at Simeon this evening. A small preview for Sunday. It's a, I don't know, maybe an excerpt from Sunday's message I've been working on, but we're going to look at Simeon in Luke chapter 2. So if you'll turn to Luke 2 with me this evening. All right, Simeon in Luke 2, he begins in 25, but we'll find Simeon here. He's in a place of waiting, but he's waiting for peace. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And by the Spirit's leading, he finds it in Jesus Christ, right? Which sounds great, like a classic Christmas sentiment, right? To find peace in our Savior's coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. But where Simeon finds Jesus, he's only about 33 days old, right? He's a month old. He's an infant in the every meaning of the word infant, right? And besides cuteness, babies don't have a ton going for them, right? They don't have much else to offer, and it's a good thing that they're so cute because their communication is limited, right? They tend to eat and need care and sleep and do other things that require cleaning up after, right? Baby Jesus in this scene doesn't do anything. He's just present. He doesn't perform any miracles. There were no halos or glow or aura around his head, nothing to give anything, and yet Jesus is God's word confirmed. All right, that's present before Simeon, and he understands this, that his salvation has come, and the gift of peace on earth that he brings. Right, in a time in history, or maybe when we face times in our history and lives where it seems like that peace is a million miles away, it's something that we're told is always present and available to the Christian. But I think it is as a gift. It requires us to receive and accept it as peace. Not that we work for it or we earn it, but by faith, like Simeon here, we wait upon the Lord for it, and as he gives it, we then boldly will receive it into our lives. Say, okay, Lord. Right, not just to get by, but to respond in praise and with a life of praise that shares that gift that God has given. If you were to give me a cookie, well, I don't know, I've eaten dinner. I'd still probably eat every single crumb of it, right? I won't share it. I'm sorry. It's every delightful crumb. I will receive that gift from you and eat it. Because usually when we give a gift, it's for somebody, right? It's for a person. And yet, the gifts that God gives, they are for us, but they're also for the edification of the body. They're also for a witness to the world. And as Jesus says, he gives not as the world gives. In John 14, 27, he says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's that peace like a river that we come to and we receive fully, right? And yet there's more, that it abounds, that it would be able to be given. And so if we are waiting for the Lord, facing fear or troubling matters of our hearts, like Simeon, the answer is Jesus. Simeon not only declares that for us, he himself walked that road of faith, right? And faith that found God faithful to give that gift of peace into his world that didn't really change much. He simply held a baby that morning, but now it included embracing Jesus into his world, that Prince of Peace. So Luke chapter 2, will you join me? We're going to begin in verse 25 and go through just 32 this evening. And Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the faithful brothers and sisters, God, who are strong in their faith, God, who are strong in their confidence in you, Lord, and shine such a light, God, and show us where to look. God, show us how to receive. And I pray that we would receive that gift, God, that it is a gift that you give not as the world, but that's so much more. So we thank you for that night, and tonight, and I pray that it would be an equipping, Lord, for our holiday gatherings, for the people that you put into our lives, for the things that we're facing that we need a remembrance of. Lord, that we would receive that equipping tonight through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Luke 2, verse 25. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" Okay. We'll get the whole entire section on Sunday, but for tonight, I was kind of struck by Simeon. He seems so cool, right? We kind of assume that he's an old man at this point, but all we really are told in the text is that he is a man, and he's a man who's in Jerusalem here. He's not a shepherd, a magi, a priest, a Pharisee, a carpenter. Simply lets us know that he's a man. Right? He could be all of those things, but simply acknowledged for us as being a man. Poor Anna in verse 36, just across the page there, it tells us that she was of great age. Right? It lets us know that she was old. And if you want to know what a great age is, according to Scripture, it's about 84. Right? Good stuff. But Simeon is just any man. He is essentially your average Joe, except his name is Simeon. Simeon means he has heard, right, or obedient one. You see, Simeon has gotten God's message. He has received his word in his life, and it has gotten through through to this man, Simeon. He, I think, is an example for us of good ground that has received the sower's seed into that, right? And so in a sense, I think we can all be Simeon. People like him in be found in a place of a similar state, waiting on the Lord, having ears to hear, and then God's word finding good ground, right? Producing a work of righteousness. It's a life of faith that's now receiving God's word and holding on to it in the confidence that it is sure. Right? Simeon seems to have a faith that affects the way in which he lives. And it's when we're presented with choices that we see those things come to fruit. In James chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we're told that knowing the testing of your faith, it produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Right? And so it's seen in those choices we make, but it also produces a work of building up in our life. Right? And yet we see Simeon very much living this, I think, life of faith before God in a place of waiting. Right? I think there's a conception that if you have faith that you shouldn't lack anything. Right? And so why do we see people of God constantly waiting upon him? You could easily make the case that Simeon is living a life far holier than maybe any of us in the room, in action and in the fear of the Lord, because it says that he was a just man, right? And this is high praise, really. It means that he was, in the eyes of God, righteous, in a proper relationship with God. We know from Abraham that righteousness comes by faith, not of works. That what accounts a man righteous is a confidence in God to provide that righteousness, right? That God himself will provide that lamb, as he told Isaac, his son, on the mountain that day. That God's promised Messiah would provide for the sin that those sacrifices he was found in were simply covering, right? That is, here before us in Scripture before the cross, right? 30 some odd years, 33 years before the cross. But it is the same faith that we hold to now, that our righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ, that his death did provide for that sin, that we are facing a righteous judgment for apart from him, right? That God promised it, and we say, okay, Lord, and know that our lives are a gift that is given back to us. Right? That's, I think, why his devotion follows, because of that faith, that he was just and devout. This speaks of godly and holy living, right? Of fearing and understanding of who God is in his actions, that this was the description of the way he conducted himself in his life, that he was one who lived unto God, and living unto God is only possible and acceptable to him in response to faith and committing ourselves into his hands. We see that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Right? We're begged to accept this mindset and this order. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It comes by first placing ourselves before the mercies of God, really laying our lives down and saying, it's not me, Lord, it is has to be you that I find my righteousness in, right? And that we would then, from that place, respond and commit ourselves into his hands, that we can find the way that we live to be holy and acceptable before him, essentially devout godliness in the way that we live. And so the purpose of the Christian life isn't simply to be nice people, but the way we see Simeon living, it's his response and action is to what his confidence that is in God, right? And this manifests itself in this passage by waiting for a gift, right? Waiting for what God has revealed to him to be present in his life. Wait there means to anticipate the arrival of something or someone, to welcome it and look for it. It says he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's anticipating it. He's confident that it's coming, right? Like almost as if he has guests arriving and he's just sitting on the couch waiting for them to pull up and ring his doorbell. See that his eyes are not on himself. They're on what's in front of him. They are on that consolation of Israel, that encouragement, that comfort, that peace of his people, right? What they are waiting for, the fulfillment of what is God's promises. He knew that it was God who would provide these things, and that it would be a child in the line of the throne of David. We see that in Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, as we opened in singing, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given." Right, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and that Prince of Peace. Right? Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. He says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He knew what he was waiting for was not something that he was producing, but a work of God in the nation, for the nation, and according to his promises that he had made to the house of David and really to all people. He says he was waiting for this, and in that, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Right? So the people of God wait, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Because what we need is truly the gift that God gives us. If we have that, we can learn to be, I think, content in every situation, because we receive the peace of his promises, right? The peace of his gift of the Spirit, right? That comforter, that helper that is given to those who wait upon him. So we see the Holy Spirit, verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. But the Spirit was upon him, but he was very much attentive to the Spirit's leading in his life, right? It wasn't just simply for himself that this peace was upon him, but it was directing his life into where he should be and his response into that. And it would be that he would see the Lord's Christ, that he would see that promise, like bodily, that he would see the promise of the Messiah, God's anointed, before he died. I think the presence of the Spirit upon him is what kept him confident in that. It wasn't seemingly reason or being able to put all the pieces together perfectly of the how, but see that the who God would provide, that Messiah, that Christ, the Prince of Peace. And the Spirit said to Simeon, you're not going to die till you see that promise of God's anointed. And so we kind of assume from that he, like Anna, was kind of advanced in age, right? But I pray for the same for those here and that we come into contact with, that we don't face death without seeing the Lord's provision, right? Without having the Spirit lead us to the place where we can really embrace and see and come into contact with the Lord's anointed, with Jesus Christ. Well, one day in verse 27, the Spirit, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. Well, for one day, Simon came into the temple, and there is Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Right? We'll see a little bit more on Sunday, but Mary came to offer for her purification after healing from the childbirth. You can see that in Leviticus 12. She was supposed to wait 33 days. And Jesus, being the firstborn male, to be dedicated to the Lord in that place. Exodus 13:2 says, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, for it is mine." Right? And so it seems to be as Mary is there faithfully doing what she was asked to do, and as they were dedicating Jesus back to the Father, and that his life would be set apart as the firstborn, as the one who was really opened up the blessing of children for the family, but really he becomes that firstborn for us of new life into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, almost the elder here before Simeon, who will really go with and follow Christ into the heavenlies. Jesus here is being dedicated. And into that scene and into that place, he takes him up in his arms and he blesses God and says, "Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." What confidence he displays, right? He's there present. How many times has he spent in the temple? He's obviously familiar with the place. And there's now a child, right? There's now a singular male baby amongst all that were probably born that year, maybe even that were born that day. And as he takes him up, right, as he's confident that this is why I'm here for this day, right, he blesses God. He says, "Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace." Simeon praises God. He blesses the Lord with the fruit of his lips at receiving Jesus and receives peace according to God's word. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, we're told that all the promises of God are yes in him and amen to the glory of God through us. I think as Simeon receives this peace and he gets the confirmation in his life, perhaps in his heart, that it is to the glory of God. And he makes sure that that is evident, right? Not just, yes, Lord, thank you. You're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. But he's blessing God. He's seeking that the people around him would acknowledge the truth that he is literally clinging to in this moment and holding on to. And it's not just like that cookie that I consume and every crumb goes in himself. He's returning that blessing to the Lord, that the people around him. In fact, his mother and Joseph, they're kind of a little bit beside themselves as they see this scene opening up, and they don't fully know what to do. But notice the confidence, right? He doesn't do this to anybody else, and yet as he embraces Jesus, he knows that he has received the peace, the fulfillment of God's word, and he's confident that it is God that's receiving the glory in this. And so he confidently glorifies God in seeing his salvation. I wonder what things we are facing that we know we have God's promises concerning, right? When we receive them, right, what is the result of that? Is it simply, yes, Lord? Or is it like Simeon? Does it result in praise and a declaration that it is to the glory of God through us, like Corinthians would say? As we receive those promises and we say, wow, yes, Lord, how do I have your peace in the middle of this storm, right? How do I have provision when I didn't think there was any going to be any, right? How is it that what should be a burden, I see that you're walking alongside of me and you're the one who's carrying this for me right now, right? When we experience those promises in Jesus that are yes and amen, they need to be like Simeon here, to the glory of God through us, right? Not just consuming, but know that the peace he gives is not as the world gives, right? It's more than is intended for us. It would be to the praise of God's glory and as a testimony to the people around us. And so I love this confidence in him, because it's a fullness of what God would want from his promises being received by his people, right? Because waiting, I'm sure, was not easy. Right. Maybe the unsurety on those days where he went into the temple and it was just like, okay, there's just a bunch of more rocks. It's just a bunch of people offering their sacrifices for whatever. And he's looking around and, you know, all right, I guess today's not the day. All right, well, he walks in on this time. I think he had this confidence that God was faithful. And Jesus fulfilling salvation, coming and overcoming death. Right, when we hold to him, right, and see his mercy and forgiveness, long-suffering and compassion, right, when we know God's love, it's not just for us, but as he declares that it's for all people. In verse 31, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people." Right, we know that in that, I think by declaring that truth, and giving God the praise in it, he realizes, again, that it's not just for him, but it is for the world. It's for everybody standing there in that temple. It's for his parents. And as we read this tonight, it's for us very much as well, that we can receive those promises in Jesus to love our enemies, because Jesus loves us. And I think the Spirit continues to lead people who are waiting upon the Lord, people who are people of faith, and their lives are walking in response to that into situations like Simeon, where God confirms his faithfulness to us, that we can then give testimony to that, to the peace of God, right? That this light we shine this time of year, that Christ is the light of the world, that it would be one that would, I don't know, the Christmas spirit would be all year long. I have a hard time with, I don't know, sayings like that. But verse 32, the light that brings revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I like Simeon because he literally held on to Jesus. We talk about that figuratively, right? And hold on to Jesus. He's going to see you through this storm. Simeon is literally, he takes the Christ child in his arms and holds him up. Right? I love that. He literally held on to Jesus and saw that this was what I need. Right? not a miracle, not a healing, not thunder and a splitting of the sky, but simply God's word becoming flesh, right? That the Christ has come. That God's, his plan and his purpose of salvation is bodily before him. And that it, as he has been faithful to come, he will be faithful to provide the way of escape, right? We're told to not so much hold on to Jesus, but look unto Jesus, right? The author and the finisher of our faith, right? And in the time we have of waiting, we will find that we too have all that we need, right? And a gift of peace that passes understanding. It will be received as we commit ourselves to him and give thanks for the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. So I love Simeon for that, the example of a man who has faith in God, whose life walks in response to that faith, who allows the Spirit to lead him to where he needs to be. And when he finds himself just confident in God fulfilling his promises in his life, his response is not just to hold on to that, but to give testimony and praise of it, right? In a way that brings light and revelation and hope to all people. Do we have eyes to see God's salvation? Well, if we do, we should be like Simeon, hold on to that, and be lives that are willing and able to declare it. Amen.